Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. It's the bye week, but there's still a lot to talk about. The trade deadline. We're fresh off of that. We're fresh off of the start of a very dismal season. We're going to talk about all that. Draft talk is never too early to do that. So we got Emory Hunt coming on for Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ, Run TMC. We're going to get into some receiver talk and trade talk there with Chris Sanders, of course. And in the meantime, you got yours truly and Connor Newt to start us off.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes. Before we get into it, I do want to, you know, take an opportunity to shout out Mom Dukes, man. November 5th, 2024, I lost her. And here we are a year later. And, you know, we're talking shop. And that's what it is, man. So if you appreciate the football content that I bring, you got to appreciate Nanette Davenport, because she is the reason why I love this game. And it's kind of different, right?
I'm sure.
Get your love for football from your mother, but man, I still remember like watching the Jets, right? And Al Toon, and I asking her like, "Mom, why is his name Toon?" And you know, we're going that far back. You know, when we were in New York, and then we moved to Philly and the surrounding area, and watching the Eagles with Randall Cunningham, and she's always make fun of me because my favorite player was Fred Barnett. Right, and that was my guy, man. I used to love Fred Barnett from the Eagles, and obviously stuff with the 49ers, you know, Jerry Rice, John Taylor, and we used to watch, for some reason, we always loved watching the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
Andre Reed is my favorite player of all time.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember watching those Bills teams and with James Lofton. It's funny, that's why every time I see James Lofton, like when they do the Titans games, I just look and I smile because it brings me back to when we used to watch that. So I know my mom is watching me. I know that she's following along. I just hope that I'm making her proud. And with that being said, let's get into this conversation about this team, because three trades were made. You had the Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the Roger McCreary, the Draymond Jones. I think Borgonzi was 2 for 3. The McCreary one, you know, moving up, getting that fifth round pick back, what was solid. I think the Draymond Jones run, getting what could possibly be a fourth, you know, provided some things happen, is good. The Brownlee one, I know he said about culture and he said about, you know, guys contributing to the culture and having the culture to allow him to develop. To me, you don't get rid of a young player like that.
Yeah, and he's delivering out in New York.
And
he's making some good plays up.
Yeah, he sealed the deal
in
their win, you know. But then you look at what's happening. They want to make 12 picks in the top 100 over the next. They've already done, you know, their picks in the top 100 already, right, with 2025. And they manufactured a pick, right, which ended up being Kevin Winston Jr., so that's an additional one. But to me, like, if you have that mindset, and I know it takes two to tangle, but you got a bunch of fifth and sixth round picks. You know, like, you have a lot of draft picks. You don't want a bunch of fifth and sixth round players making your roster, because then that means you don't have a good core of veterans also.
Yeah, it goes back to what we say all the time, in that you're not going to find that elite blue chip talent in free agency. Some of these guys have to be drafted. And look, you're right, TD. They're making decent top 100 picks. Kevin Winston, I think, in the future is going to be a pillar for this team if things go right. Obviously, you have Cam Ward. And then Borgonzi today said Jeffrey Simmons is a pillar for success heading into the future. But you're right. You're not going to just find elite talent sitting out in free agency, and I think a couple years ago is proof of that.
Yeah, and it's elite talent at the positions they need.
Right,
because typically tackles don't become available. Receivers, here and there, you got to find a disgruntled situation, or I mean, like, you just sometimes the timing is just right and the guy's available. But that's a little more frequent than, you know, tackle, cornerback is give or take. You know, there's always like some type of wart on a guy that's available in free agency cornerback wise. So to your point, it's like you got to focus on the draft. And now this is an organization like they lack premier players. Like you sit here and you look at this roster, and I mean, outside of Jeffrey Simmons, you know, there really isn't someone where you say, you know what, number so and so is not going to ruin us this week.
Right.
I am telling you guys right now, number whatever is not going to ruin us. They only say that about Jeffrey Simmons, if that. So I think when you look at how void they are of talent, it's one of those things where you need a heavy, heavy influx. So that being said, we're talking about the draft, right? And trades and the draft.
Right.
Would you, if the Cowboys called you with the Quinnen Williams deal, would you have done it?
It's such a tough question. Because I understand why Simmons wasn't flipped, because of what you just said. He's the only player on this team that you feel like can give you a chance at some sort of success. But at the same time, that's a first-round pick for next year, not this year. 27, I think, is
the 2027.
Right.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, I think, are on the downward surge, so that potentially could be a top 10 pick on top of the one you already have in 2027. So that could potentially be two top 10 picks. I feel like I would have done it. I really do. Just because I think sacrificing a player of that caliber can help you take a few steps forward in the future. And this year, I think, is a wash.
This year is a wash from a wins and losses perspective.
Right.
But from a development perspective. And for me, I look back at your 38th pick last year and Tavondre Sweat, and I say, okay, I need to pair somebody with him. Now, Mazi Smith, decent player. I need to pair Jeffrey Simmons with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff was playing at a level that was very different before he got hurt. And so to me, if I'm doing it, I need two first-round picks.
Yeah.
I'm not, hey, look, 2026 second-round pick is cool, but I need a first either this year for 2026 and a first in 27 or 2026, because they do have two first-round picks this year,
yeah.
Right? So one way or another, like we gotta make this thing happen, because I need to get players in immediately. But then also, Connor, what you look at is it's pretty clear this organization does not have patience,
yeah.
Right? And so that being said, I don't know that you could strip it all down and actually allow that process to matriculate the way it should, because I don't know that the people at the top are going to have the patience to watch it happen.
Right.
So that's a big problem with me, because look, man, me saying that this year is not about wins and losses and more about development, that's not something different than what they were preaching.
Right.
But six games in, Brian Callahan's fired.
Yeah. That's why when you asked me that question, I was like, this is a tough call.
Yeah.
Because Jeffrey Simmons, you're right, is playing on before he got hurt, he was playing on a defensive player of the year level.
Yes.
Like, he was just on a different level. And that's kind of what we were hoping to see after this offseason, when he preached about change in mentality and preached about his change in his body, losing all that weight to get to the quarterback. And it's paid off for him.
Yeah.
That's why I think if you traded him, his value would be at the highest level it will ever be at his career. Because I think at 28 years old, he is in the prime of his career.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
I just feel that to draft these top 100 players that they're trying to do, and if you want to do it at a super, super effective level, then you would trade Jeffrey Simmons. That said, it would slow your process of rebuilding down tremendously. So that's where I see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I'm so split down the middle on this.
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
It's a tough call, because you can make a good case either way. And another thing for me is what Jeff does for the other players. Right? You heard
right.
Mike Borgonzi talk about how he doesn't know that he's seen a defensive. Now, this guy was in Kansas City with Chris Jones.
Yeah.
right? And he said he doesn't know that he's seen a guy empty himself in practice the way Jeffrey Simmons does. So you got that. Whoever is the next head coach coming in, they're going to want to attach, like Mike Vrabel attached himself to Taylor Lewan, you know what I mean, Jarrell Casey, when he first got here, and use those guys to, all right, this is the message that I want in the locker room. I need you guys to relay that. Just the same, whoever the next coach is, they're going to be able to lean on Jeffrey Simmons to help set that platform, to build that foundation. So that's important. But then also for me, what's important, getting back to what I said about the way he affects other players, he makes your cornerbacks better, right? I mean, he makes your secondary better. Because, like, go back and look at, was it the Broncos game where Xavier Woods had the interception? It was off of a pressure that Jeffrey Simmons made. Like, the quarterback, Bo Nix, had to rush the throw, and it was off, and Woods was able to come up, dive, and make the catch. And then you look at the forced fumbles, right? The sack strips that he's had. I forget. It was a home game, and it's crazy because I sit here and picture it, and they were going this way, like going into my left.
Yeah.
I just don't remember what the team was, but he had a strip sack. And he makes plays so much, right? And you talk to the linebacker. You talk to Cedric Gray, man. Like, Cedric Gray has 11,214 tackles this year. You know what I mean? He's number three in the league. Realistically, I think it's like, because he had like 16 this past week. So I think he's at like, he has 75, so 10. That's like 91 tackles. Like, we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And the dude got all those tackles. A lot of that happens because Simmons is opening up, occupying blockers up front. So to me, I just look at the way you have select players playing well. A lot of that is being assisted by what Simmons brings. And so it's tough for me to get rid of that.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there. I'll echo something Big Joe told me a couple days ago. You know, some of the greatest plays of Aaron Donald's career weren't made by him taking a sack. There's a whole highlight reel on YouTube you can find somewhere of just Aaron Donald being triple teamed and a teammate on the defensive line or a safety comes up and makes the sack. That's kind of the value I feel Jeffrey Simmons brings as well. Maybe not to that extreme level, because Aaron Donald is one of the best defensive tackles of all time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what you're saying, and that the value he provides for not just for this team, but for the future of the Tennessee Titans organization, I feel I can see why it wasn't passed up, why it was just, okay, we're going to leave him here. We think he's an anchor being on this defense. We think he's an anchor being for the next coach to come in here.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm having a mental battle with myself right now. And I'm glad I didn't have to make that decision. And overall, I'm very happy that Jeffrey Simmons is still here, because it means he's going to be here for a while. And look, we don't know behind the scenes. Maybe he went to Mike Borgonzi or Chad Brinker or Amy Adams Strunk and said, I am very happy here. My family is here. I love living here. I love playing for this team. I want to stick around for when we're good again.
Yeah, yeah, there's no telling. And we don't know what phone calls were made. And 91 tackles for Cedric Gray, right? 49 solo. He is second to only Jordan Brooks, who has 93. So there it is right there. I mean, that lets you know. But to your point about Simmons, what do you think of Ridley not being – now, there was a report, I think Florio had put – look, that report was off.
Yeah.
It was off. I very well-placed sources within the organization told me that, no, they weren't shopping him at all. Did the phone ring? Of course. And are they going to pick the phone up? Absolutely. Even on Jeff, they're going to pick the phone up.
Mm.
You know, so Ridley being here these last, you know, eight games or whatnot, okay, beyond that, like, what are your thoughts? Because they could get out of his contract after this year.
I think that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of keeping Ridley around for when he gets healthy. Okay, can he come on with Cam Ward towards the end of the season, and is it benefiting Cam Ward? And if so, should we look at keeping him around for the next year? Now, I think the Titans are going to draft a receiver at some point in this next draft because they kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
If it were me, I would go Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State, but I know you love Bernard out of Alabama.
And it depends on where they are. You know what I mean? Because I think Tyson is a guy that's going to be drafted higher.
Right. But as far as trading Ridley, I think unless you were getting just kind of a knock-your-socks-off offer for him, like, let's say Kansas City calls hypothetically and says, hey, we'll offer you a third round pick for Calvin Ridley, which I don't think was plausible, then I don't think they should have traded him. I think for the reasons I kind of said, they're going to hold him for the rest of the year, and it, obviously they have an out after this year. So they're looking to see, okay, is this chemistry we saw between Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley in the offseason and in training camp going to come on towards the end of the season? Can he help unlock Cam Ward a little
bit? It's Cam Ward friendly to keep him around.
Right.
You know, once he does come back from the hamstring, 100%. But, you know, I laugh because Calvin Ridley's drop in the season opener, but you'd have thought that Calvin Ward ate like the worst food possible the way he got up and leaned on that rail. So you do have that. But if you look at his contract, he's going to be $26.7 million against the cap next year. That's a pretty husky hit.
Yeah.
They released him as 13. So it does kind of make sense to move on. I think in that situation, to me, the way I would do it, Connor, honestly, is I'm looking at Tim DK playing Z for me.
Yeah.
He would be my starting Z, and you could bring in a slot guy. You look at like Mekhi Lemon, a guy I talk about a lot. You know, he's someone that could work that slot. He could work on the outside too. He, to me, like he's like a Josh Downs, Khalil Shakur, like a guy. He's not that super shifty. Yeah.
Rashid Shaheed. Kind of like that.
I wonder the speed though. Shaheed, you know, got stupid speed.
Yeah.
I wonder what Mekhi Lemon is going to run. He looks plenty fast here, but he's just a baller. So I think, you know, you have that as a nice trio. You save the $13 million. Maybe look at signing an Alec Pierce or something like that. And we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but
yeah,
we're just looking at this receiver position. So that's something. Obviously, they're going to need a pass rusher, right? Because Draymond Jones, 4.5 sacks. Like, he was tied with Jeffrey Simmons for leading the team in sacks. So now you take that out, and the tandem that he and Jahi Ward were able to work in. I talked to Hadi, and by the way, congrats, Jahi Ward, on the baby girl. You know what I mean?
There we go.
He had a baby last week, and that's why he missed some of the practices. But he was able to jump back and hit the ground running. Mm. And he told me when I talked to him in the locker room after the game, he was like, you know, he and Draymond, they kind of talked with each other. And there are certain stunts that they're able to go with. These are ones that are drawn up by Denard Wilson. And, like, he was like, all right, man, I'm going to shoot this gap. You loop into the B gap, and you know, that's how we'll do it. And then it worked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I think are good. Now, Denard Wilson, I mean, God bless Denard Wilson.
Yeah.
Because this man is at a gunfight with a knife. And he's trying and trying. Finally figured out. And I know, look, because I posted that they had a good game against the Chargers. And I know they had backups, but like, all you could do, like, what do you expect them to say, hey, don't worry about getting the sack because this is against the backup. It doesn't matter.
I mean,
it still matters.
They're asking him to turn water into wine with his defense.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the only guy that was able to do that was Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, look, there's a lot with that. That defensive coaching staff, I really like the staff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, If I'm a coach, like if I'm Arthur Smith and I come in, people are going to hate it, but I'm going to, for the most part, lead that staff the way it is.
No, I really like Denard Wilson. Like, I think listening to him talk, it kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit if you think about it, because kind of like what we're saying, what is he supposed to do? Like, he's out there calling the plays that he would call if he had, you know, Jeffrey Simmons and Quinnen Williams and a prime Legarius Sneed and all these guys playing at their peak. He'd be calling the exact same thing. And I don't know what people expect of him when you have Jalen Armour Davis, no offense to them. And, you know,
I mean, it is what it is. And then you look at
Marcus Harris,
you look at the communication stuff that's breaking down. Like, there's a lot to it. And even the sudden change, like, there's a lot. This defense is it's in bad shape. You know, a lot of it is personnel-wise. So, look, man, we went on and on about that, but it's something that I think we needed to address. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC, and stay tuned for Emory Hunt football game plan coming a little bit later.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you.
number 10. Bo! Bo!
And now, the starting safety for the Tennessee Titans, Lance Shelters. Oh, man. What's going on, big dog?
I'm just sitting here trying to soak in why you always use the same guy.
No, but dude, I was going to call you Algie Crumpler. That would have been even worse. Hey, have you ever seen a tight end built like that with knock knee that good, man?
No, but he used to, man, run that seam route and go across the middle.
I know. Did you say he got hit in the game, like got crushed one time to where he's like, oh, my God, is he going to be all right?
Brian Dawkins hit him. Listen, man. You saw, he laid on the ground.
Man.
Spirit got up and, like, gave the peace sign and just floated to heaven, man.
That's hilarious, man.
The angels out of him, man. It was
crazy. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a hard hit, man.
It was, man. It was.
Well, nothing really hard-hitting about this trade deadline. I guess we could start there.
I know. Yeah.
You look at what the Cowboys were able to get for, a trade for Quentin Williams. That knocked my –
That was unbelievable. Me too.
That's the trade Sauce Gardner. I mean, like, if I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm like –
Sauce? What?
But, however, the Sauce Gardner trade, that was highway robbery. Two firsts and an 80 mission, who, went to Kansas for a year right here in Nashville. But – what do you think of, as you look at the three moves that happened, what are your thoughts on
that? You know what?
Start with Jarvis Brownlee Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I know that situation's a little tough. You know, Brownlee, I mean, I just think that, especially when he was with the Titans, whatever, he did okay. But I just think that, especially when he was here, I don't really know the situation. I don't know if he was a locker room guy to where, he can make that locker room better. Because when you're losing and things like that, you want to make sure your locker room is healthy. And if you don't have a healthy locker room, then it's going to mess up the whole thing. So I think with the Tennessee Titans really letting him go, I mean, you can't have an unhealthy locker room when you're losing. When you're winning, you can kind of get away with it, and it can be covered over. But at the end of the day, if your locker room is not healthy, then you can lose, a lot of people on that team, especially those young bucks that's actually seeing what's going on in the locker room.
I think that was more of a Borgonzi interpretation.
Yeah.
As opposed to the locker room. I know, guys I talked to.
Yeah.
They were all like, man. You look at Darryl Baker Jr., he was like, man.
Yeah.
Jarvis was always fun and a lot of energy. I love being around him. Obviously, James Williams, they grew up together. So you're going to
get
there. But Roger McCreary, Amani Hooker, all those guys, like, they really.
Yeah.
Jarvis's presence, obviously the culture thing was something that Borgonzi didn't see.
And I wanted to be careful when I talk about the locker room. I'm even talking about to where, how do you talk to coaches? How do you – and I'm not saying that he did that or anything. I'm just saying that's – it just doesn't make sense when you want to have your best corner that you're trading. Snead was out at the time and you kind of let him go. But – I'm just thinking that it had to do something to where, and it's just my opinion. I'm not saying nobody said this, that maybe that he was bucking a little bit of the authority or, wanted to kind of do his own thing. I'm just throwing that out there and just saying that I may be wrong, but I just think that might be it. I don't know.
Well, Mike Borgonzi did say accountability. So
let's
move on to the next one.
Sure.
You look at Roger McCreary. Well, you know what? We talked to Roger McCreary. We talked about Brown. Draymond Jones is the most recent.
Like, that was the final trade. So, to be able to go from the fifth to the fourth, if the Ravens make the playoffs and he gets two, so he's going to get the two sacks, man. He's working with Chuck Smith.
Right.
I don't know if you remember Chuck Smith.
But yeah, I remember
that's
Chuck
the sack
Smith.
Doctor, man. Like, that dude
knows
how to get after the quarterback. He's worked with so many people. But anyhow, what are your thoughts on the Draymond trade? 4.5 sacks, right? 4 consecutive games with 4 sacks. He and Jahi Ward in tandem.
I mean, they brought so much energy. We were talking about that the Tennessee Titans need to acquire some type of pressure. Those cats were bringing pressure, man. Those guys were bringing it. I mean, look at the last game. I mean, if you look at, you know, the situation with the Chargers, I know Herbert, you know, made, you know, threw some good passes and those guys got open, but there was sometimes that he was under duress and it was because of those guys. And when you let one of those main guys go, I mean, who else do you have? I know they're banking on Simmons, they're banking on Sweat, they're banking on those guys, but we're not. I mean, Simmons is hurt. Sweat is okay right now. So when you let a guy of that, I'm not saying magnitude, but that guy that was putting pressure at that moment, I don't know. I don't know if they're just, you know, waving the right white flag or just saying, you know, we're going to try to build and get some more players. Even though this guy is hot right now, we're going to try to get some draft capital. So I really don't know. I don't understand, but I'm not in that organization. But as a fan looking outside, as a guy that covers the Tennessee Titans, It was a brain scratcher to kind of let that guy grow. He can get better and better and develop into an even better pass rusher.
That's interesting you say that, because I'm actually on the opposite side of it. I think that trade is good, right? Because you're moving up. And, I mean, if you can move up into the fourth round, it's a good – his contract's expiring, right? You signed him to 1 year, $8 million, and you're flipping that to a fourth or fifth round pick. Yeah. And – the thing is, at this point, after this year, like, what are you going to do? I was wondering, because I looked at him and I looked at Jihad at Hadi, and I'm like, man, those guys would be good to keep around. But really, truthfully, are you going to, you know, have those guys, have Draymond there after this year? You know, and that question mark is
good
there, because I think it's a lot similar to me to what's the guy who ended up going? He went to the Bears. DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Robinson. Right? High pick, second round pick, Florida State.
True.
Stuff didn't work out. He came to the Titans. He had like eight or something like that sacks. And then he signed with the Bears. A really big deal. Ended up getting released, you know, but he parlayed a good season into a big contract that the Titans weren't going to
get.
I kind of see that same thing with Draymond Jones. Not to say he'll go to Baltimore or wherever and fail, because I think Draymond's a really good player.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though, is you want to keep some guys that are pillars of your defense. And right now I think they're banking on Sweat, and I think they're banking on Simmons. But here you got Draymond Jones that brought some fire to this defense, to a defense that wasn't getting any pressure. They would have pressure periodically. But now you got a guy that brought some energy, some tenacity, and you're consistently hearing his name. So I just think that, and I understand the contract situation, I understand it's a business, but if you keep three solid guys and then build around that, I think you can maybe build a pretty good defense for next year.
Yeah, I don't think you're building around Draymond Jones.
No, I'm not saying building around. I'm just made like one of those guys that can be like a supporting cast, to where when those guys are getting double, whatever, he's making the plays happen. That's kind of what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to build around him.
One of the pillars, basically. I don't.
I feel you.
They made their decision. It is what it is.
Yep,
Arden Key is set to come back after the bye week, so you got that. Femi Oladejo, he has a couple. I saw him on a he's still
on crutches. Dude.
Yeah, very, very well built edge rusher. So you do have that. What do you make of this offense and Cam Ward? Let's shift to where he is now and what you look at going forward, because this is in essence the break of the year, week 9, right? Week out of week 18.
Yeah, but see, here's the cool part about the whole situation is he's got two young players that are playing pretty good. You know, you got DK and you got Elik Iomatter. Those guys are playing at a pretty good level. They're making plays. I know DK is making more plays than, the special teams with the kickoff return that he had last week. And, you know, he's averaging 26.4 in kickoff return. He's averaging, I think, 19.5 in punt return. So those guys have been the bright spot. So you look at your offense, who's been the bright spot on this offense? You have DK, you have Elik, you have Pollard that's been making plays, but I love these young wide receivers. And I think that with Cam, they're going to keep developing into something really, really good. I think, and this is just my opinion, I think you still need to go get a bona fide number one wide receiver in the draft or a bona fide number one wide receiver in free agency to complement these two guys, because these guys are good, they're making plays, and that's just going to make your quarterback even better. But just looking at the skill set of what Cam is doing right now, he's making some splash plays. He's making some plays to where you'd be like, man, this guy's got it. But the one thing that he has to do, he has to protect the football. When I say protect the football, you can't drop back and lose the football two times in a row because it'll cost your team. So those are things that are fixable. But as in his mechanics, he's throwing some balls that I'd be like, man. But then on the flip side, you got to protect the football.
Yeah, there are some passes where you really say, man. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I see for sure.
Then protecting the football. Look, man, free agency, you're not going to get a number one. So
right.
Pack that one up, shoot it to Jupiter. Cause
I'm trying to make it sound good, man.
Yeah, good. I mean, I feel what you're saying.
Right.
But you're not getting a number one. This draft is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is.
As you look at some of these guys start to come together, you know, Carnell Tate, Jeremy Bernard, who's my guy.
From Ohio State.
Carnell Tate, yeah, he actually wear the same number as you. So
he's a baller.
Number 17.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw this out on you. Is he better than Jeremiah Smith right now?
No, sir.
Yes.
You saying yes?
Maybe not catching the football, but when you talk about actually running routes, dude, he ran a slant and go that I was like, whoa.
Okay.
I mean, his change of direction is nasty.
He's a better route. I'll give the route runner.
Yes.
But come on, man. Jeremiah Smith is the best receiver in this game. You know what I mean?
It's not a conversation.
And that's the one he's the guy you stock up to go get, not this upcoming year, but 2027. Like if they could put something together to have him, put a picture of him on the side of the new Nissan Stadium, yeah. They'll be in good shape. They'll be in really good shape, man. But either way, you look at some of these guys coming out. It's going to be interesting. I want to ask you about the screen game, you know, because I asked Iron Manor about that. Because to me, these guys turn into Lester Hayes, the corners, right?
Man.
When it's a screen. Yeah. Like, they are running through whoever is stuck blocking. They're running through the mustache. You saw Derwin James, what he did to Tim Deacon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, look. Now, look, if I'm Tim, I go back to Tyke, and I go back to Hardegree and all that. I'm like, yo,
right?
Just don't call that, man. You know this guy's out there. You know what he does.
Yeah.
Don't put me in that situation.
No.
But nevertheless, Alec Ironmanor, I asked him about that, and he touched on how the rules are, where you had to be careful as far as not being able to block the man before the receiver catches the ball. And he made a really good point, though, about – with that being the situation, you got to catch as opposed to going and get him.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to catch the block instead of going in to deliver. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, here's the deal. It's two type of screens. You have a screen to where the number one wide receiver standing there, and they just throw it to him out there. And then you have another one to where it's a tunnel screen to where he's coming down the line of scrimmage and he catches it, and the offensive line goes, and then the receiver, the number two receiver, goes out to in the corner, and he can be on the move. The one that we talked about, the first one I just talked about, where they just stand there and throw it to him, and then the number two receiver's got a block, he's in a bad position. I mean, he can't go upfield because it'll be a penalty. So you have to sit there and you have to catch it. That means you better have your big boy draws on. You better have your mouth guard in. You better have your helmet chin, your helmet tightened up, because you have to sit there and you have to take on the block. But when you run a tunnel screen to where you got the tackle, the guard, they're coming out to get the guys in that alley. But then you have the number two wide receiver that can run to the corner to where he can brace himself and be on attack as opposed to being attacked. So that's the two type of the two different, screens that you can run. But the one that I talked about first is tough because the number two receiver is in a bad position.
He's in a bad position, but it's no worse of a position than other teams, and other teams run that effectively.
True.
Help me out.
Yeah, but see, it all depends. That's a great point. But see, the defensive back, Edwin James, he read his keys. And when you read your keys, you're able to get a jump on that. And if they get a jump on that, I mean, you actually don't have a chance. So it's all about what your offensive coordinator does to set it up. He has to make sure that he calls it at the right time, because if he doesn't call it at the right time and you got the defense to read the keys, you're going to get run. You're going to get ran through. You're going to get your mustache looking like Jeff Fisher's, and you don't want that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are situations where it just boils down to execution. And a lot of times they're just not making the block. Like, I'm just going to call it what it is. They're not making the block. They have to get better at that.
Right.
Either that
right.
or just stop calling it. You see what I'm saying? Or to your point about, like, why not have that number two stalk, release upfield?
There you go. Yep.
And you pump fake to the screener and hit him a nice strike, because you got to be quick, because you got to do it before the safety come down and blast it.
Yep.
But a nice strike right there for a game. Why not do that? And these are some of the things that kind of irk me with this coaching staff, the lack of creativity in those types of measures. You know, you put together this wildcat and you run that, and to me, the stubbornness, the selective stubbornness, I don't like it. Because, look, man, Campbell, I'm getting on a tangent. This is supposed to allow you to speak, so I'll turn it back to you, man.
No, but see, here's the thing, and this is what's frustrating a little bit about the offense, is the following week when we're going against the Colts, right? It was third and three. They didn't get no yards, and then they kicked it. But then everybody's like, oh, go for it. But then you get into the San Diego, you played the Los Angeles Chargers, and it's fourth down, and you give the ball to Pollard, and you get stopped. Why don't you have Cam roll out or do something and use his legs to where it's a dual threat? Because we always talking about this offense being predictable on first down, predictable on second down, predictable on third down. It's like, okay, if we're behind, if we don't get in front of the chains, then we're going to do something crazy. So I think the frustration with me, and I know the frustration with you, is the offense is so predictable. Yeah. So, you know, when you don't make it on fourth down at the 1 yard line, and you give it to Pollard on the play before that, he got stopped again, and then, you know, all of a sudden, why don't you use, you know, Cam Ward's legs to where even if the play isn't there, his legs are going to make something happen, boot him out, neck it, something to where there's a dual threat as opposed to just giving it to Pollard and five guys tackling.
There's no threat of passing the ball whatsoever with Pollard at Wildcat. Like, there's no threat. Like, why make yourself one? That one right there. Okay, look, it was different with Derrick Henry. I mean, you got – like, Derrick Henry is different. I'm running Wildcat on 100%. You know, fourth and one. Or I probably just run dive and just let Derrick go forward. But either way
– Man, what?
I'm not running Wildcat with Tony Pollard in those situations. And then there was a third and three later, and they ran that with Tajay Spears. It was no gain, and that's when – Sly kicked the field goal. But regardless, this team, look, they're going nowhere fast. And at this point, everybody is auditioning for jobs. I think that's really
the bottom. Yes, they are. Yeah, and then I want to talk about that fourth down play again at the 1 yard line. Why don't you just do a quarterback sneak? You know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because it's a bang bang play. Why not? He's a big body. He can make something happen. He can push 40 yards, but then all of a sudden you give it to Pollard and you give the defense a running start, and there's three and four guys, you know, right when he gets the football. So I just, you know, and I'm being careful because I never want to disrespect the offensive coordinator with everything, but I just think that if this offense is going to be better, it can't be predictable. You just got to make the common plays.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. Well, look, we're going to go ahead and pause it on that. Come back next week. We'll talk about this. I believe it's the Texans coming to town. So we'll have a lot to unpack with that. Some more former Titans come back to Nissan Stadium. We'll see if the Titans can make their return a disappointing one. But, yeah, man, we'll get into that next week. Bye week is here. Got to dig into some prospects. So make sure your phone is ready, because I'm going to probably be texting you some guys that I like.
Let's do it, man. Let's make it happen. But also, man, you still look like Lance Schulters, Tyrone Hill, Bo Outlaw, John Chaney. You look like all of them combined.
No comment.
This is Cedric Gray, and I'm talking with TD.
That's right. Don't say nothing, silly rabbit. Listen, I'm laughing about this intro because this is an inside joke. This song and the meme of Orange Juice Jones sitting there smoking a cigarette when he saw his lady walk by with another man. He was sitting in a coffee shop and he saw that. He just took a puff of the cigarette and he just let it go. So it's a funny joke that we have. And that group chat is with my guy right here about to come on. And that is Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ. I don't know any other way to introduce him than saying that he's untouchable when you talk about the draft community and the knowledge, the depth. So make sure you guys listen in because we want to get into a little bit of draft. So without further ado, I bring to you Emory Hunt.
My bad, bro. I would never stop laughing at that meme and that song. It is forever funny.
It's always going to be funny, never not going to be funny, man. And just the way when he dismissed her, he was like, yeah, that's right, you dismissed. And the way he did, yo, it's so funny, man. But speaking of being dismissed, three guys were dismissed from the Titans this trade season. You had the Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Roger McCreary, and Draymond Jones. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on trading away a guy like Jarvis Brownlee Jr.? We talked a lot about him at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago, and we've talked about him since.
Right. It's hard to really depart from edge rushers, cornerbacks, and quarterbacks that are really good. And Brownlee is someone that, you know, he was a budding star for the Titans, in my opinion. It's someone that you're going to say, okay, we're good at corner because we have X, Y, and Z. Someone that has great ball skills. All the things that we talked about, you know, at the Senior Bowl, we talked about in this film breakdown, it manifests itself on the field for him because he was exactly what we saw and played exactly like that despite going late in the draft. And I thought that was going to be a real gem for the Titans. So to see him leave, it's unfortunate, but, you know, so is life in the NFL, man. And we've seen that this past trade deadline.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And with him leaving, it opened the door for Jalen Armour Davis to kind of take over. It hasn't been good, just being blunt. When you saw Armour Davis coming out of Alabama, what were your thoughts on him and seeing him for the couple years with the Ravens? Did anything that you saw positively manifest itself, and what do you think of him now?
Well, I just thought he was more along the lines of a depth guy, a guy that could be a core special teamer, someone that could help you out, you know, in a dying situation, or if a guy goes down, you need someone to step in for you for 2 to 3 games, he would be someone like that. Baltimore, and that's why Baltimore kind of moved off on him. And when you see someone now of that caliber being thrust into the starting lineup, you're asking someone to play outside of themselves. I would more rather see someone like, you know, Sam Womack, who I've always been a fan of when he was with San Francisco, when he was with the Colts, and now he's with Tennessee. I know that he had him sort of slated as a nickel guy, but I think the way he competes, he can play outside. So I'd say give him a chance to do that as well. But Armour Davis, I think, is more of a depth guy, and I think eventually he'll play himself into that with Tennessee.
And we're talking to Emory Hunt, CBS Sports HQ Football Game Plan. Make sure you check him out, footballgameplan.com. I was just talking about our books the other day, too, might I add. I was bragging a little bit, you know, bragging about the books, Football Love Story and What Did Football Teach Me, that we did. But anyhow, just to get back to this draft somewhat discussion, as you look at this roster for the Titans, what would you say, like after watching them go 1-8, what would you say are the major needs for them if you had to pick two?
I would say point of attack, and that gives you credence to go O-line, D-line. And so I think, you know, as I've gotten mature in my age, I've, you know, gone away from thinking everything is about skill and speed. I still slightly think that way because you do need points to win. And can you score? Can you take the ball away? But when you look at how the NFL is played and how teams win in the margins, it's really up front. That's what gives you a chance week in, week out to keep games close and keep yourself within striking distance to where you can use those skilled players on the outside, where those guys at corner can make a little bit more aggressive plays on the ball to turn the ball over. So when I look at Tennessee, I like some of the youth they have at wide receiver and the tight end with Gunnar Helm and growing together with the franchise quarterback and Cam Ward. I like how they can run the ball a little bit, Pollard. You know, and Spears are two guys that got some juice with them. And so I said, you know what, man, Tennessee kind of have to get better up front and on both sides. So I look at O-line and D-line as their two major needs. And when I say D-line, I'm also including a guy that can really get after the quarterback. So kind of an edge rusher more so than the interior defensive lineman.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Absolutely. When you say O-line, are you talking about like left tackle? What specifically?
I would probably lean more left tackle. You know, and I would say I love J.C. Latham. I like what they have in Kevin Zeitler, still playing good ball at this juncture of his career. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Skoronski and Jackson. They drafted this year, out of Sac State. You know, who had a really good Senior Bowl. So I like some of the pieces. I'm more so eyeing that left tackle spot as a place where they can, really book in their offensive line with young studs.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because that's probably his contract's probably the biggest one on Daniel Moore Jr. That is, it's probably the biggest one on the O-line. But anyhow, I'm with you on the edge side of things too. So I'm curious because you see, these mocks start to come out. It's projected that the Titans will have a top five pick. Right now, right, they're tied with the Jets and I believe the Saints for the worst record in the league, et cetera. But Reuben Bain, I keep seeing this name put with the Titans, and he's a good player. I can't get on board with taking him in the top five. Am I crazy?
Well, the only thing I would say about that, TD, when thinking about taking him in the top five, you seen how he looked? Like, man, he looked like somebody's uncle. Like, to me, those are the dudes that you kind of want. Like, give me a defensive player that looked like that, right? That looked like like Clyde Simmons, you know what I'm saying? Give me somebody like that. But in all seriousness, you're right. I think he is more of an interior D-line. I think he'll be better suited as a five tech, as a pro, as opposed to a go off the edge, go get it guy. But, man, it's hard pressed. He reminds me of my teammate, Derek Marshall. Look just like him, same hairstyle and everything. Look like a 40-year-old man at 19. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm thinking the Titans need, you got Tavondre Sweat, you got Jeffrey Simmons. So I think the defensive line is solid enough on the interior. So I would focus more so on the edge. So if you're Tennessee and you're thinking in the top five, and if you don't see a specific guy that says, okay, he has a top five overall talent in terms of pass rusher, then you probably give yourself a little bit more wiggle room to move down, stockpile some more picks while still getting your guy within the first round that can give you exactly what you need coming off the edge.
And that leads me right into where I wanted to go here, right? Because you look at this first round, it's going to be interesting, especially after the trade deadline and all this stuff going on. I mean, look, there are teams, there's four to be exact, that have two first-round picks this year, right, in 2026. And you look at the Jets, you look at the Rams, those are teams that may be after a quarterback. And if you have a top-five pick, obviously Mendoza, Lenore Sellers, these are guys that the Jets probably won't have to move up to get, but you look at the Rams, they have two first-round picks. So let's say the phone rings, the Titans pick it up, they get the Rams two first-round picks. How would you address the roster with those two first-round picks? And even, do you agree with something along those lines?
Well, I would say this. The Rams, if the Rams are sitting in your two first-round picks, one of theirs would be lower, right? So you lose that ability with one of those picks, right? Their pick is probably going to be in the late 20s, right? So does that really give you bang for your buck? And then the other one would be the Falcons, who probably will also be in the 20s. So you, not only do you move out the top five, but now you're moving yourself back into the 20s. So I would probably look at more so the Dallas Cowboys with those two first-round picks. Because Dallas right now will have you in pick maybe 14 or 15 and pick 24, right? So moving from 5 to 15 or 5 to 14 kind of gives you a little bit more leeway. And so I think if the Rams call, they would have to toss in a player in order for me to move from 5 all the way down to the 20s with both of those picks. Mm-hmm. Now, if the Cowboys call, I'm more inclined to listen or pick up. Because I don't think the Browns are called, because the Browns are more likely to keep both of those picks and pick two good players that they need, because they already got their first guys quarterback on the roster in Shedeur Sanders. And so if you look at the Cowboys, you're like, okay, Cowboys probably are the team most likely to make a splash and will want to get up and get one specific guy, because they've done a good job with the trade trades that they've made and added to, you know, this whole football team. So they may be looking for one specific guy. So I think moving down with Dallas would be best. And if I'm moving down with Dallas and having pick 14 and 24, I probably lean more to Caden Proctor with the first pick, you know, the tackle out of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like Spencer Fando will be gone already. But also with the second first round pick, I look at David Bailey out of Texas Tech, the edge rusher.
Yeah.
About one that hit the ground running from Stanford to Texas Tech. Another one that's kind of like, you know, Reuben Bain, except he don't wear gloves or no tape on it, nothing. He just go out there and just pass.
So
those are the defenders that you want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times for defense, it's about aesthetics, and aesthetics work. So I like the way David Bailey has rushed the passer this year for Texas Tech. And Cade Proctor has fallen out of favor for a lot of people. But, I mean, at pick 14, that's still great value for a team that needs a left tackle.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting you say that, because they could get out of that Dan Moore Jr. deal after next year. So I would see how that would work. This team hasn't drafted a receiver in the first round since Corey Davis in 2017. So what are your thoughts on receivers with one of those picks? I happen to be a big Jeremy Bernard guy. I really like Mekhi Lemon too, but Cornell Tate is polished. But with one of those picks, like, where do you think they could go as far as that's concerned?
If they go receiver, I like Jordan Tyson. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's someone that just gets buckets, like someone that, you know, just gets open, and he's a true leader at that position, and kind of gives you the well-rounded nature of his game to go along with Shamir Dike, who has that the speed, and AU Manor, who has the big body to work underneath. Tyson can play all three levels. So if he's there, that would be someone. Lemon has phenomenal hands. There's not a pass that he can't catch.
He is
like the reincarnated edition, or this year's version of Amon-Ra St. Brown, with how just he attacks the ball. And it's like there's no bad throw that you can make for him. And if you're talking about maybe later in the first, or someone that is a wild card, how about Casey Concepcion out of Texas A&M? Like, explosive playmaker, can win at all three levels. People may see his size and think, oh, he's a slot-only guy. Nope, I don't think that's, you know, that's the case either. I think he is someone that definitely has the ability to play on the outside. But, man, when you talk about someone that can affect you, you know, as a deep threat, as a catch-and-run guy, and also in a return game, if you want to use him in that regard, he can help you there too. So, to me, you're getting all of that for a receiver, and that will be more of the later round, you know, not later round, but late in the first round type pick that you can make if you want to even trade backwards from 24 to maybe even later in the first.
To acquire another. Now he's one of the transfer guys, right, for A&M?
He came in from NC State.
Okay.
He was their best player. NC State, and he's been exactly that for Texas A&M.
Nice, nice. And A&M is always fun to watch. Marcel Reed, you know, and you remember, I said, that guy reminds me of Randall Cunningham, the way he looks and throws. But all right, so speaking of quarterbacks, and we're talking to Emory Hunt, football game plan, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ, rather, excuse me. The quarterback position, Cam Ward, what are your thoughts on Cam, and what should be the goal or expectation for him in these last half of the season?
I'm a Cam Ward guy, as you know that, and how we talked about Cam Ward forever, you know. And so the fact that he's out there, you know, playing good ball considering the circumstance, is he's right on track to me. And you could tell he is someone that wants to bring it each and every game, or does bring it each and every game. And he's kind of looking around wanting the team to join with him in that regard. And at times it looks like that, like when he came back against the Cardinals, it seemed like the team just galvanized, like, man, let's just go get it. Like, he wants that mentality, that attitude to permeate throughout the rest of the team for the entire game, for the entire season. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll continue to stay locked in like he has been, not, you know, look too far ahead and look too far in the past, just kind of stay in the moment, and not let bad plays get him down or let bad plays linger, which he has done a good job of that. You don't see him showing emotion like that on the field or anything like that, getting frustrated. So, I know people – with the fantasy football location of, you know, the sport, and there's no analysis. Everybody's either great or you suck.
Yeah.
You know, and so that and everybody wants to focus on the numbers. And, you know, so I think if you just watch Cam Ward play, you can clearly see he is not the problem with the Titans right now. And they clearly have a dude that's going to be a guy for a very long time.
Excellent point right there. I guess we'll go ahead and we'll end it on that. And I'm glad you said that about Cam, because there is such an emphasis on stats and a de-emphasis on the actual development, what's going on the field. And he does have a way to go, but I think he's shown signs.
Yeah, if he hadn't shown signs, we'd be having a different conversation. But you can clearly – that's why I always find it fascinating when you look at how people talk about these quarterbacks and these young players. Like, case in point, look at what's going on in Cleveland. You can clearly see that Dillon Gabriel is not a starting quarterback for a full season. But when you look at Cam Ward, you watch the games, you're like, man, they just got to get him some help, because yeah. You can see the talent in the midst of them losing, juxtaposed to the Browns when Gabriel is out there, you're like, man, they're not winning because of him. The defense is playing well. They just can't move the ball. So I think Cam Ward is one of those guys that you could build around, win with, and win because of.
Gotta love it, man. I appreciate you coming on. Always good to tap in and talk a little shop, man. Bring the group chat somewhat to the to the air. You know, we can't, there's certain things we just can't bring. They got to stay there. But nevertheless, appreciate you, family.
Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate you, man.
So that was Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ. Always fun to talk shop with him, man. That's the guy, right? You need any draft information, his draft guide is available on footballgameplan.com/draft guide. So check those out. I mean, they go all the way back. So I appreciate Emory for coming on. Appreciate Chris Sanders for making it happen on Run TMC. Connor over here making it go too, man. It's been a great show. So we're on the bye week. It's time to get our mind off of football a little bit, maybe a day. I'll probably come back Saturday, you know, with college going. Yeah, you know how it is, man. But, yeah, man, appreciate each of you for tuning in as well. Definitely make sure you continue to check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.